The following is an at-will presentation.
A man in a dress. Painted face beat for success. Wigs and things that make him her. Transformation, but not transgender. Ladyboy, crossdresser, transvestite. Names, titles, families, teams, homes. A man in the day, a woman at night, or just whatever the fuck he feels like. A fight for gender freedom, but not constricted, not binary, fluid. Him and her, her and him, two-spirited, free-spirited, dick-tucked, indigo. The club is home. Dark nights, bright lights, and dollar bills, extravaganza, entertainment, sexuality, Vogue, bitch, Vogue. Motherfucking RuPaul monopolized. If you can't love yourself, how the hell you gonna love anyone else? Can I get an amen? Self-love. Ru gave the kids a home on a television. A competition. A legend. Club kids out of the club. RuPaul's drag race. RuPaul's fag race. Turns out, though, you don't gotta be gay to be a drag queen. It's not even about that. Slay queens, slay. Pageant queens and fashion queens and skinny queens and hungry queens. Old queens and teen queens. All shapes and colors and sizes celebrated. A self-love celebration, a transformation, an art form, a dance, a motherfucking lip sync for the guads. Personalities in clubs once, now celebrated celebrities. A man in a dress, a painted face, a beautiful fucking mess. Icons, lifestyle, self-love celebrated. Identity, dichotomy, in poetry, in motion. An idea. A movement of self-expression. This is not just a man in a dress. Can I get an amen?
My name is Nico Tortorella. I'm an actor. It's my job to play different people on screen. And in my real life, well, I like knowing that who I am depends on who you ask. Here's the thing. My sexuality has become a topic of conversation recently. Look, I don't fit into a box. I was never in a closet. I was never even in the house. I'm not gay. I'm not straight. I'm attracted to people who are unapologetically themselves. I'm in love with love. And most importantly, I love and respect myself. Everybody's talking about gender and sexuality these days. This show is a chance for me to broaden the conversation. No matter how you identify or don't, the common thread that motivates us all is love. So each episode, I'm going to talk to someone I love or have yet to love about how our gender identity, sexuality, and relationships shape us, define us, and make us original, beautiful fucking creatures of love. Welcome to the Love Bomb. This is a conversation with a drag queen I love, named Milk. I am obsessed with drag queens. I don't think that I can
love act. This is how it started.
This is exactly how it's going to start. There really is little in the world that makes me happier than watching a man dressed as a woman. Or some, like, over-exaggerated character version of a woman, get on stage and just, like, fucking live their life, right? It literally takes balls.
Yes, right? Actual testicles.
You have to have testicles to be a drag queen.
I mean, no, oh, my God, that goes into a whole nother thing. I don't know if we want to get into.
Well, I mean, drag king, that's a whole other topic.
Yes.
Which is not what we're talking about
today. Right, yes.
This is about male to female
drag queens.
Transformation, minus the snip-snip or any type of, like, transgender situation.
Right.
This is about a man that cross-dresses. Mm-hmm. Ladyboy into a woman, paints a face, and gets out on stage and performs, right?
Yes. That is the standard sort of idea of what a drag queen is. Well, people use the word drag queen, but also people use the word female illusionist.
Female illusionist.
And so there's definitions between the two that some people like to use female illusionist instead of drag queen because I think drag queen is too campy for them sometimes.
Okay.
So like a female illusionist is like somebody who wants to impersonate strictly a female, and drag queen is sort of like they can do other stuff. They can do other stuff.
I mean, phonetically, drag queen just sounds a little campy itself, right? Mm-hmm. And female illusionist just sounds like more artistic.
Right. Just I feel female illusionist is a little bit more hoity-toity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I mean, what does being a drag queen mean to you?
Oh, my God. Oh, my. It's like, oh, God. Being a drag queen for me means, like you were saying, just it's the art of transformation for me from being able to, in the daytime, live my life as Dan on the street, sort of conforming. No, I don't want to say I'm a conformist to the idea of masculinity, just like wearing men's clothing and just like fitting into that, I don't know, standard idea. But I like to do that.
During the day, you are a man.
Right, yes. Yeah. So to be able to live day to day as a man, and then at night or for gigs or whatever, able to like put on makeup and put on a wig and costume and glitter and stuff, and be able to become some sort of fantastical like being. That didn't really explain what drag means to me, but
yeah, it did.
It means a lot.
It means a lot. I mean, it's like it is your full-time profession. Sure.
Yeah, it is. Yep. Yeah. I've been a full-time drag queen now for a little over 2 years. I was on RuPaul's Drag Race Season 6.
Oh, my God.
Season 6.
When did you get eliminated? How far did you get into it?
I think you know. I came in 9th, I think, which isn't good.
But you had only performed twice before.
Yeah, so
you
I had never
went on Drag Race.
Right, I had never
Drag Race. Drag Race, coming to you live from Drag Race.
He should be a judge on Drag Race. Yeah, I'd only performed twice on stage before having to lip sync for my life on the show. Because where I started off in, I would say my drag career started in New York City in 2012. I moved from Boston. I was doing drag there like every so often, but in New York drag was more consistent, parties were more consistent, they were every day of the week, and right. So I just had more time and more I got more experience, but what I did in New York was just host parties, so just like show up to a gig in a themed look or whatever and sort of just like hang out and drink and just
party.
Yeah, just party. Just be the life of the party. Be something for people to look at or take pictures of,
right.
or with.
In the beginning, was it like this complete transformation? Like, were you a different person when you were going out?
No, well, I would yes. I would say Milk was much more. My drag name's Milk.
Yeah, we haven't talked about this yet. Let's formally introduce yourself.
Hi, my name's Milk from RuPaul's Drag Race Season 6.
How the fuck did you come up with the name Milk?
It was, well, I had another drag name before, and it was I stole it from a Latin ballroom dancer, and her name was Giselle Peacock, and I was just like, I like Giselle Bundchen, so I was like, that's chic, and then peacocks are fucking awesome.
Colorful.
And so, yeah. And so I chose that. And then when I was starting to do drag more often or wanting to do drag more often, I was like, this name doesn't really go with what I want to do. It's a little too female illusionist.
It's a little pageant-y.
Yeah. Which I'm not. I love pageants. And I may get into pageants one day because,
ooh,
yeah.
Really? This is news to me.
hold on. Pop screen.
So, drag queens have this cluck that they do. It's this very loud. Can you do one for us, please?
I just did one.
It was just like
I can't
louder.
Do it on cue.
Oh, that was good. That was there good. So Milk and I invented the super
the softest.
Quiet, soft cluck. Yeah. And it just...
Yeah, for those who can't actually do the loud one. So I was Giselle Peacock, and then I was sitting at the Cheesecake Factory with friends, as you do. And I was like, what? I want to come up with a new drag name. Like, throw some names out there. And one of my friends said Milk because of, like, the paleness of my skin. And I was like, that's an interesting name. Like, I was immediately sort of, like, drawn to it, but I think my friend had said it jokingly. Mm-hmm. And
how old were you at this point?
12. And, yeah, prepubescent. No, when do kids go through puberty nowadays?
Like, 12, 13.
I feel it's just earlier.
Like girls go through it earlier.
Global warming.
Yeah, right? And milk. I mean, it's a problem.
Yeah.
The hormones in milk is actually...
We're not going to get it.
Hold on.
No,
but it's true. No. That's actually what is, like, making kids go through puberty quicker. It's all the hormones.
People don't
in food.
Drink milk right out of the teat?
I mean,
the udder?
Yes, they do, but like processed milk is what I'm talking about.
Oh, I have my own cow at home.
What's his name?
James.
We'll talk about him later.
Yeah, so someone said milk. I like latched onto it, and then because I thought milk is interesting. There's never been a drag queen named Milk before, and when you're announcing milk onto the stage, you wouldn't know what to expect. You're just like, milk, what the fuck is that? And so I like that sort of air of mystery.
That's what I say every time I see you. Like, milk, like, what the fuck is that?
Well, I love it. Should be my tagline. It's what good. The fuck is that? Yeah, and where were we? I don't know. So milk.
Your name is Milk.
My name is Milk.
Mm-hmm. I feel like to be a drag queen, right, it takes this, like, abundance of self-love to be able to do what you do, right? Because, I mean, you are the product that you're selling, right? This character of yourself. Right. Did you grow up loving yourself?
Well, I don't necessarily think it comes from self-love. I think it actually comes from, a lot of the time can come from self-not love. Yeah, where you're not comfortable with the skin you're in, and so you decide to paint yourself and dress yourself up as this other thing, this other character that is much more like confident and outgoing and extroverted, because I feel a lot of drag queens have a different character from boy to girl.
Right.
I would say in the beginning when I started dressing up, my drag character was much like, I could walk into a club because I would tower above everybody. And
because you are 6'2".
I'm 6'3".
6'3".
Yes.
And with your 8-inch heels, you're a fucking monster.
6'11".
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Finger counting.
Yeah.
And so Milk back in the day was able to just, I don't know, be more confident,
right,
because I had on this mask, and so I could do anything, really.
Yeah, but even the ability to, like, decorate yourself to get to that point of being her, I feel like you have to have some level of respect for who you are, right?
I don't know. I mean, I guess I've never thought about it that way, but I don't think that's always necessarily the case.
Well, I'm talking about you here.
Me.
We're talking about you. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, this is about me.
This is about you.
Yeah, well, I've always had, you know, self-love. I've always been, I wouldn't say always. Let me take that back. Well, let's just say that Milk helped me as Dan to be more embracing of my eccentricities, I guess, because Milk has many, because
right,
that's what I give her.
Mm-hmm.
And so as Dan, I think it helped, like, that helps me. And being able to go up to somebody and say hi to somebody that I don't know, and just being a little bit more, I don't know, loving to the world as Dan instead of sort of shying away from it.
And I mean, other people are definitely more easily attracted to Milk and the ability to have a conversation with her because of what she looks like, right? I mean, it's just like this immediate, I'm going to come and talk to this person because she looks a certain way.
Right. It's a curiosity,
yeah.
I think, for the most part. Or it can be an intimidation as well. Seeing how tall I am, I feel some people are just like, ooh.
I mean, depending on how drunk you are at the club, too.
Yeah.
Hey, I love you. Season 6 is my favorite.
Season 6, oh my God, can we take a selfie?
I mean, I think that's what happened the first time that I met you at Johnny Wujek's birthday party.
I think it was. Yeah, you were. I remember you were wearing fur.
Yeah,
that's
all.
And it was sort of near your birthday, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was at Bootsy Bellows.
Mm-hmm.
He was having a drag
Bootsy
party.
Bootsy Bellows, yes.
And I just, like, stormed up to you and was like, oh, my God, I'm obsessed with you. Because,
it's,
I mean,
very sweet.
You very are one of my favorite drag queens, if not my favorite.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You
and
have
I,
to say that because we're doing a podcast.
No,
together.
But also, I mean, like, we've spent a lot of good time together. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I've just always looked up to you. And I don't get starstruck at all. You've heard me tell the story a million times, but I don't get starstruck. Like, I can, you know, I mean, I see Brad Pitt, I'm like, oh, what's up, dude?
You said hi to Brad Pitt?
I said, what's up, dude?
To Brad Pitt?
No, that never happened. But I'm saying, like, I could, like, I have the ability to, but when I saw you, it was like this, like, visceral shutdown, and I was like, oh my God, I don't know if I can go say hi.
That's so special.
Yeah.
And, well, and it's special that RuPaul's Drag Race has had that effect on so many people.
Right.
From, you know, like, little 14-year-old girls, like, entering high school, and then just, like, 20-something-year-old scream actors.
Oh, scream actors. That's what we're going with. Okay, yeah. I'll take it. I'll take it.
And who was soon to be on Younger on TV Land.
Little did I know.
But it's really quite fantastic that it's had this reach that it has.
Yeah, I mean, because before RuPaul, nobody really knew that much about drag queens unless you were going out and experienced it in the club.
Right. I mean, I feel drag is still seen as, I was talking about this last night, drag is still seen as like a joke, as a gimmick, which it is. And I think most drag queens are in on the joke, so it's not a problem. But before Drag Race, it was, like, I remember there was a Cosby episode where, like, Dennis Rodman was in a wedding dress and, like, makeup or something like that. And it was just, like, a gimmick. It was just, like, for straight people to be like, a man in a dress. Yeah. But I think Drag Race has allowed drag to be embraced a little bit more for the art form and not just for the gimmick of it all.
I mean, in terms of the art form, it definitely is limited. Like, what is the ultimate goal of a drag queen?
Well, you never know.
I mean, I don't even think it exists really yet.
Right. I mean, I would say the ultimate goal for a drag queen was to have her own TV show.
Right.
And I mean, RuPaul had that already back in the day on VH1, her talk show. Mm-hmm. And then Drag Race. And so I think at this point that goal has been reached, obviously. Right. And so it's just like, what the fuck is next?
And the celebrity of drag queens at this point, you know.
It's insane.
It's crazy.
That, like, to have as many Instagram followers as drag queens do, more than, like, Hollywood stars.
And politicians. I mean.
Yeah. Silly and stupid. And I use the word stupid. Don't get me wrong. I use the word stupid in a great way.
Yeah.
Because I love stupid.
I mean, it's because, like, for somebody who looks up to drag queens, I can speak for these people right now. It's just this ability to be so confident in who you are, right? And to just, like, be so proud of what you do that is, like, so unbelievable. Yeah, I love drag queens. If I haven't made that abundantly
clear. I do, too. They're cool.
Let's switch gears for a little bit. So, how do you identify? We've established that you're a drag queen, but outside of that, in terms of gender and sexuality.
Cis male.
A cis male. Can you define what cis means for us?
Cis means
cisgender. Cis is short for cisgender. Cis means being comfortable in the body that you were born in.
Yes.
Okay. You were born as a man with a penis. Definitions and you are comfortable being a man.
Yes.
Cisgender, opposite of transgender. We'll talk about that in another episode. But.
So I'm a cis gay male.
Cis gay male.
Okay. White privileged cis gay male.
Do people ask you how you identify? Has that been like a question that you get?
Not really. From you sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, because we talk about this all the time. but do you ever say drag queen? Like, is that the first thing that you say?
I mean, I wouldn't. I didn't just throw drag queen in there. But. I don't. I wouldn't say drag queen is part of my like inherent identity. Yeah,
but it's definitely in the world.
It's it's
something.
It's part of my life. Yeah, it's part of my life, but I wouldn't say it's my like core identity.
Okay. I usually don't talk about this in these, but you shared an Instagram post on Father's Day that has hit the world in a beautiful way. And it was about you coming out to your dad when you were how old?
22.
And you had known for...
I had known I had come to realize it and embrace it like 2 or 3 years before that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you decided to write your father an email.
So, yeah, my dad was traveling, and I had already come out to my mom, and my mom and dad had come to visit Boston, where I was living at the time, and James, my then boyfriend and current boyfriend, were living together. And so we were like touring, I was touring them around our apartment, and it was like a 2-bedroom, and there was a master bedroom, and then there was a guest bedroom.
Oh, oh, oh.
And so I'm just like, this is the bathroom, this is the living room, this is where I sleep, and then this is the guest bedroom. So it was sort of like, oh, like James doesn't sleep in this guest bedroom. Like
right.
He must sleep in, and it was a king size bed. It's just like, who has a king size bed for one person?
I mean, I do.
Nah.
Can we?
So
you wrote your dad an email.
So I wrote my dad an email.
Right.
And because it was my dad and I. I mean, I said it in my Instagram post, but my dad and I never really had a great, great relationship growing up. We were both sort of quiet to each other. We never expressed, like, love. We mostly expressed, like, anger and, like, resentment and stuff.
Okay.
But we definitely did have, like, we did have a loving relationship. It's just we weren't able to vocalize it.
Right.
And
which is totally normal.
Right, yeah. And so the easiest way for me, like, I was talking to my mom, and she was like, well, maybe you should just email him.
Because you had already told your mom at this point.
And maybe you should just email him. And I was like, okay, I guess that's an okay way to come out to Dad. And so I wrote him this email about just, like, who I was and all that sort of stuff. And then he responded with,
with
do you want me to read it?
I would love for you to read it because it is so beautiful.
Okay.
I mean, we should all be so lucky to have parents like this.
Yes. He said, hi, Dan. What took you so long? ... Just kidding. And then he did one of the very first emoticons. He was like, first time I tried using these goofy little emoticons. He goes on, he says, please know that the measure of a person is the positive difference they can make in the lives they touch and not who they bed with. I can imagine how difficult it was to come to grips with the reality of who you are, but the reality of the situation is that you are a talented, caring, gifted person whose sexual preference does not even enter into that equation of life. I will not say I still love you, as that would mean a break that I would have had made a decision to or not to, but know I always love you. I am relieved that you didn't have an emotional breakdown dealing with your thoughts and feelings, and that shows the strength and character that you have developed through it all. Love, Dad. So magic, right?
So magic.
Genius.
I mean, that is not the normal story by any means.
Right.
And so many people talk about how hard it is to come out and, you know, that's not what this is about.
Well, the fear of coming out in your head is like 100-fold. Like,
right.
You blow it out of proportion in your head.
I mean, because society has built that up.
Right,
for this,
totally.
That's what we have to do.
Right. And I feel close to a majority of the time, like, some of those feelings are, like, actually happen in reality. Like, they aren't accepted. And so, I mean, I never expected that sort of response from my dad. I thought he was just going to be like, okay, cool, use a condom, you know?
Yeah.
Just, but first, I was like, first of all, where was this father growing up?
Like, I mean, the level of emotional maturity in that email is like fucking bonkers.
Who the fuck wrote this?
Your dad. Like, that's where you came from.
Yeah. And I shared it on Father's Day, and the amount of people that responded to it, like, commented and just, like, so happy to see that this type of, like, parenting is, like, possible, and or, like, people like, this didn't happen to me, but I mean, I found my quote unquote new family.
Right.
And just, like, kudos to your dad for being such a fucking awesome person. And so I screenshotted a couple of the comments and I sent it to him as, like, a Father's Day gift.
I mean,
and
best
my mom
gift
texted
ever
me
give.
And she was just like, you made your Father's Day.
Oh.
Yeah, it was so cute. So cute.
Are your parents still together?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How long have they been married?
They were married in 1980.
Okay.
So that's
36 years. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Yeah. Marriage, wonderful relationship. You look up to them as a couple.
I mean, I wouldn't say that.
No.
I mean, they have a great relationship, and I have a great relationship with them, but I don't base my homosexual relationship on anything they've done.
What do you base your homosexual relationship on?
I don't know.
Is there, like, a couple that you look up to as what you want? I mean...
Not really.
Let's talk about this first. You're in a very committed relationship and have been for a long time.
Yes. James and I started dating in 2008, so that's 8 years.
We're doing a lot of math.
I know. I hate math.
You're doing
well. It's my least favorite subject. Yeah, so we've been together since 2008, and... a fucking magical, loving relationship that we have. He still makes me laugh every single day. Mm. Like, no joke, every single day. And, I mean, he always comments. He's like, you're not sick of my, like, humor yet? I'm like, no, I love it.
I mean, I've said before that when anybody's asked me this question, I look up to you guys as a relationship.
That's true, though. That's very sweet.
I mean, it's like you rarely see two people in a relationship for that long. Especially a gay relationship, right?
Mm-hmm. That, like, well, as young gays,
yeah,
that I wouldn't say we're super. I mean, we're late 20s, early 30s.
But I mean, you started really young, mm-hmm. right? But that, like, you just enjoy being around each other so much.
Yeah. Well, I remember when we first started dating. It was my first major relationship. I had been through a couple like month long like flings.
Had you been in love at all before, James?
I had been infatuation, which okay. I thought was love, but so he was my first major relationship, and I remember thinking that I had to make everything about him, and so all of my time was devoted to him. I would be at his beck and call, or like just put myself in his life, right. and with his friends. And after like a year or something, it just became too much, and he was just like, "Dan, you need your own fucking life. You can't just, I feel you're just always here."
He's older than you?
He's 3 years older than me. Okay. Yeah. So I was just always around, and I lost a lot of friends that way, because I would sort of ditch my friends to hang out with him or his friends. And he's like, "You need your own life. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I love that you love me, and like you love spending time with me, but." It's just like, it's a little much. And so that was like our first like relationship hill to get over. And then I started working for Marc Jacobs and developed friends through that and started hanging out with my own friends. And so
this is before you started doing drag, too,
and this
right?
is before I started doing drag. James is the one that got me into drag.
Because he was doing it.
He and his friends would do this... he and his friends would do this thing called 10 Minute.
We can use the word here.
Can we?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you sure?
This is a safe place for all people.
Okay. It had been called 10 Minute Tranny mm-hmm. before we were educated on how hurtful and sort of bad that word is.
It was unnecessary.
Right. So it was called that. And because he lived in a house with all of us, with like... three or four of his friends, and so one of them would call out 10 minute blah, and they'd all like get in makeup and wig and costume in 10 minutes and then come down to the living room, and then they'd lip sync to numbers and they'd record it and they'd put it on YouTube at that time, and it was just really fun.
Right. But you like but didn't like it for a while, right?
Right, exactly. So when I first saw like pictures of this, I was like, ew, like this guy that I want to date wants to become a woman. I was very naive to the whole situation.
So as a kid, you weren't like trying on mom's dresses. And
no, I was.
Around.
No, I was. Okay. Yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, I would throw on a wrapper blanket around my waist to make it into a skirt, and then I would put on like I only listened to musicals when I was a kid.
Right.
Like I remember my first cassette tape was Andrew Lloyd Webber's Greatest Hits. And I listened to it on the bus every day to school.
Mm-hmm. No wonder Dad was like, "What took you so long?"
And so I would just dance around the living room, and then I put on shows for like my parents' friends when they'd come over, and just like dancing in the living room, right. and just like jumping in splits and like dropping in splits, and just like, you know.
So I mean,
queen.
So the fact that you were like a little bit cautious about James and his friends doing it, I mean, was there like a little insecurity?
Yeah. Well, it was, I think I was still going through insecurity as far as accepting myself as like a gay man.
Right.
And not trying to live my life by sort of heterosexual standards.
Right.
And so to see him doing this, I was like, this is weird. Like, I don't know if I can date this guy. But then I would see that during the day, they would just be guys. They would just live their life as guys.
As men.
Yeah, as men.
A bunch of ballet dancing men.
In tights, yeah, ballet men. And then at night or whenever they would do this, they would, you know, just have fucking fun. That's all it was about.
And loving life.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like, I think that's where it clicked for me. It was like, oh, this doesn't mean, like, just putting on.
It doesn't mean I want to be a
wig
woman.
And makeup yes. doesn't mean that you're then going to cut your dick off, you know?
Right. In terms of your gender, I mean, you are a cisgender man, but you perform as a woman. I mean, would you say that there is, like, a gender queerness to it?
Yeah, I mean, I obviously feel I have some female characteristics inside of me.
As like, we all do.
Yes. I mean, that's sort of two-spirited, right. I guess.
Two-spirited is a Native American term that they established for people that encompassed both male and female energies.
Mm-hmm. And so I definitely, I feel you, to be a drag queen, and I definitely have that
right
to be able to feel comfortable donning women's clothing and makeup and
but you have stuff. No desire to become a woman ever. We have made that clear.
I do not okay. desire to become a woman.
Okay.
Even though I think living it, like I feel women have much more like it's more acceptable for them to dress silly and fun on the street and like wear cool clothes than it is for a man.
Depends on the city that you're living in.
Yeah.
I mean, here in New York City, we're safe to do pretty much whatever we want.
Yeah, but I guess therein comes my insecurity still. Like, if I were to, like, wear crazy clothes, like, on the street as a man, like, I would feel self-conscious.
Really?
About it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like, even sometimes when I'm with you and you're wearing, like, the shit you wear,
I go for it. I'm not shy about it.
You are not.
I mean, I've even put on a fucking dress with you and gone out and partied, you know? I love getting into women's clothes. I mean, I've only done it with you a handful of times, but, like, it is so empowering. First of all, you get
what
to just...
What is that?
I mean, you just get to lose any insecurity or, like, inhibition that you have, right? Because you really are. You're wearing this costume. You're wearing this, like, this mask. And you wind up harnessing this energy that, like, has always been inside of you and finally, like, has an outlet that you can, like, I'm a performer at heart, right? It's what I do for my job. And, like, becoming a woman, I guess, or this version of a woman that we're able to create is just, like, it's just an outlet to just, like, push this energy out.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
I mean, it really is. If you've never done drag before,
go put on a dress.
Go put on a fucking dress. And you don't even have to leave your house. Like, I get this a lot when people are like, I want to try drag, but I'm too scared to try it.
Right.
It's like, doing drag doesn't mean you have to go out in public.
Right.
That's how I start. I started, like, putting on makeup in my bathroom and just taking pictures of myself and then just taking the makeup right off. And that's where the practice came from.
Right. And there was an Instagram at this point, so you couldn't share it anywhere.
And thank God. Thank God. Because those pictures. Whoa. But, yeah, it's so if you haven't done it, you should try it at least once.
Okay.
It's amazing. Nothing related to this, but I was talking, again, last night, this conversation came up, about, like, in the 1950s and 1960s, when it was, like, against the law to wear women's clothing out in public.
Right.
Did you know that?
Unless you were performing for something.
Well, you couldn't be on the streets.
You couldn't be on the streets.
So, like if a cop like stopped you, if you weren't wearing three pieces of men's clothing, you could be arrested and sent to jail.
Isn't that crazy? For what? What was the term that you were arrested for? Like, what was the charge?
I forget the name of it right now.
Being a woman.
But I mean, there is a term. I just can't think of it. Because I'm dumb and I don't read. But yeah, you could be arrested. And so, like, female illusionists, drag queens back in the day would take the subway with their dress and their hair and all their stuff. And I mean, I don't know what they did with the whole makeup situation. But But they would, like, get changed in the back alley, yeah. and they, like, enter the club from there. Isn't that crazy? Nowadays, I could be, I mean, you could be out in fucking Times Square.
Just look at Times Square. There's tons of them. I mean, yeah. not, like, drag queens, but just characters.
Yeah. Caricatures. I mean, life is moving forward.
Right.
In a better way. I'd say it's, I don't know, that's quick. I mean, is that quick?
I mean.
In, like,
I mean,
six, God, math again.
Every
60-something years.
Yeah, but I mean, think about all the other minorities, what they were going through 60 years ago, you mm-hmm. know? Like, yeah, I mean, the evolution of acceptance is definitely moving forward. It's not perfect.
Mm-hmm. Will it ever be before this world destroys us?
I don't know.
Well, we've destroyed the world, and so it will then destroy us.
I mean, I think we're continuing to do our part, right?
Queer continuing to do our part.
But I don't know. Like, what does perfect look like? I feel like if at the end of the day it is all one, like, how are we able to celebrate how we're different from the majority if that actually happens?
Well, that, and then that takes into consideration the idea of labels.
Right. Well, I mean, that's what this is all about, right? Yeah. Like, why are they all necessary?
Mm-hmm. And you, I mean, you don't think they're all necessary. You don't think it's necessarily important to set a label on things.
I go back and forth. I mean, I think that it is very important for kids to know that there are groups of people that are like-minded that they can go and talk to, mm-hmm. right? Especially kids growing up in the middle of nowhere that, like, don't have outlets. And especially now today with Instagram, social media, and everything, like, you can find these different, like, sub-communities that exist. For that reason, I am so pro-label, mm-hmm. right? But in, as we're moving forward, as, you know, this more label-less society, I feel like I just don't know if all of these, like, subcategories are necessary for all of us. Yeah. And I think that they're, like, LGBTQ, ABC, blah, 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 every other fucking letter in the alphabet. Like, there is so much inherent phobia inside of the community, right? And, like, that is because these labels exist.
Right. Well, what you were talking about, like, I am proud to call myself a gay man.
Right.
I don't often use the word queer. I know that I feel our community is moving in that direction to just identify as sort of a queer bubble.
Mm-hmm. But even the word queer, like, to the rest of the world, the word queer, like, still has negative connotation. It means faggot.
Right.
Phonetically, like, I'm not attracted to the word queer. I'm not attracted to the word bisexual. Pansexual just reminds me of cooking. Yeah. Like, I don't like the idea of being limited to one specific family or tribe or whatever the fuck you want to mm-hmm. call it. And that's, for me, where the problem with labels actually exists.
But I feel it took me so long to come to the realization and embrace the fact that I am a homosexual.
Right.
That's why I cling to that word gay, because I finally fucking found it.
Yeah.
And that's what I identify as. And, like, that's what I like to, I don't know.
Kudos to you.
Yeah.
I mean, not all of us find it, you know?
Yeah.
That's kind of what this is all about, is, like, the ability to not have to find it. Because I think society has placed so much strain on, like, you have to fucking label
right.
yourself for other people to understand who you are.
Right.
But, like, what if I don't understand who I am all the time? It's like, is that not okay?
If you move sort of sinusoidally through everything.
And which is where the word fluid comes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Let's switch gears for a second.
Okay.
I want to talk about sexuality for a second and drag and mm-hmm. how the two go together. I mean, do you ever have sex in drag?
I do not. That is something that I don't do. And I'm not against other people doing it. Like, I don't fucking care.
Right.
But in drag, I don't find myself sexual.
You're not, like, this hypersexualized human in
drag. No. Like, I mean, I find myself beautiful, but I don't find myself, like, sexy.
Right.
I don't.
You're not trying to, like, sit on a dick in a dress.
Right.
Yeah.
And there are queens that do,
yeah.
and more power to them.
Power to them, yeah.
For finding that part of themselves.
But we're talking about you.
I know. So, no. The answer is no.
Okay. I'm going to keep going. Monogamy.
Okay.
Where do you stand?
Yeah. I stand, I think it's different for everybody. James and I are monogamous. We are a monogamous, committed couple.
8 years and running.
8 years, yep. But again, I'm not going to judge somebody for being in an open open committed relationship. Because right. I think that's possible, right?
I mean, can you think of one person that it works with? I can't.
I can't either.
Okay, so there's that. Do you guys talk about getting married?
Yeah, we've talked about getting married before, but it hasn't happened yet. Okay. And it's not necessarily like the word marriage isn't necessarily important to us, even right. though it is for our community to have it be legal now. But it's not something that we're just jumping on because now we can do it, you know?
How quick did it take you guys to say, I love you?
I would say a couple months.
Quick.
Is that quick?
Quicker than, I would say, most relationships.
How long is...
I'm not the right person to ask because I say I love you to most people.
I love
in my life.
You, sunglasses.
Yes, exactly.
I don't know. Is that.
No,
like
it's fine.
Like 3 months, maybe. Yeah, 4 months.
I mean, but like, you
are
know.
Are supposed to wait a year?
The like Hollywood, you know, version of when do you say I love you, I think is longer. I think we've been taught that you should usually take longer than 2 months to say I love
imagine.
You.
I can't imagine. I feel that's just. I feel you just should know, like, in a short amount of time if you're going to be, like, in love with this person. And I don't know.
I totally agree with you.
God, why are you not agreeing with me?
I'm agreeing. How...
Can you imagine it taking a fucking, like,
I'm so
six
uninterested
months
in
to
that.
A year?
No, I mean, that's why I've ended a handful of relationships. I mean, not really a handful. A couple.
How many relationships have you been in?
A lot.
Okay, I'm gonna hold up fingers.
I would say like 10, like really important ones.
Mm, that's a lot. Maybe a little bit less than that. You know.
Well, you've been in one for 8 years.
Yes.
Do you guys say I love you all day long?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't just call him up randomly and I'm just like, I love you. Click.
No, but like every time you get off the phone, you say I love you goodbye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And since I travel a lot, every single time I go on a plane and I'm taking off, I will text him and just be like, about to take off, I love you the most. And just like, just in case my plane goes down, I do my last interaction with him to be of love.
When you land, you say, landed.
Landed. Yeah. And even nowadays, when, I mean, James and I don't get to, unfortunately, travel together a lot. But even sometimes we do, we'll be sitting next to each other on the plane and just out of like, aww. We'll just like text each other and be like, about to take off.
That is so sweet.
It's really cute. It's really cute. If I do say so.
What's the most romantic thing you've ever done?
What is the most romantic thing I've ever done?
Like the most like intense expression of love that you have given to Mr. Whiteside.
Gosh.
You don't have to have an answer.
I mean, I don't really. I mean, the first thing I thought about was when I was poor and I couldn't afford any, like, interesting anniversary gift. And so I just went out and bought massage oil. And then I gave him, like, an hour massage.
Ooh.
And then afterwards my hands were like, can you massage my hands? They hurt.
Do you want to hear something gross?
No.
For Valentine's Day 1 year, I was dating somebody, and I made all of these stickers. I was living in New York. I made all of these stickers that said, I love you, so-and-so. And I plastered them all over New York City and took pictures of them and made them into a book and sent the picture book to this person. For Valentine's Day.
I mean, you went through a lot of trouble.
Holy shit.
You went through a lot of trouble.
That is the gayest thing I've ever done in my entire life.
One of the things where you, like, wake up all of a... Nico has this tendency to just wake up out of sleep and just, like, come up with these crazy ideas. And was that one... You just woke up at, like, 5 in the morning just like, I'm going to make stickers!
Yes, pretty much. There was, like, a picture on it, too. It was a lot.
Of you?
And it was like an astrological combo of our two signs. It was like a lion mixed with an Aries head.
Aries is born when? I don't know much about zoology.
That's genius. All right, I want to talk about one more thing, and then we can wrap this little booger up. I love talking to you. Isn't it like, isn't this therapeutic?
Mm-hmm. I mean, what, this or just talking in general?
Well, I mean, just like being in a room and being able to just talk about like positive things.
Yeah.
Like, when do you really get a chance?
Talking at each other.
Talking at each other.
Yeah.
Well, to each other.
Right. But, like, also, I mean, I find, like, recording a podcast so, like silly. Mm-hmm. Like, because it's just, I mean, it's like we're just talking to each other normally, we have, like, these dildos in our faces.
But you and I talk about these things
all the time.
Which I think is why our relationship is so special.
Yes.
I mean, this is, like, these are topics that are always on our minds, because I think that there's a radicalness to both you and I that, like, want to really make the world a lovelier place.
Well, to figure it out. And, well, I feel upon meeting you and becoming friends with you, I mean, I feel my world of embracing sexuality and labels and all that sort of stuff has definitely grown.
Thank you for being a part of it.
You're crazy.
I'm crazy. I want to talk about fans for a second, and the love that they have for you, because it's crazy, right?
Right. Yeah.
Just go for it. Just let's talk about some fan love and like how and what it means to you.
Well, I was talking about it the other day. How there are people that are too scared to come up to you. Like the other day, shout out to whoever this person was. But I was on the train, on the subway with James, and we got off. And a couple minutes later, I got a tweet from this kid who was just like, "I was just on the subway with you and James. I was like standing right next to you, but I was too nervous to say something." But then they posted online. So, like, they're still making me aware that they were there and that they were excited to see me.
Totally. And but didn't have the balls to say to
in person. Yeah, but, I mean, I'm sort of that type of person, I guess. Like, I didn't have the balls to say I'm gay to my dad in person, so I came out to him online.
A little different.
Yeah. Coming out, being a fan of somebody.
I'll get pictures in DMs of me on the train that people will take.
That hasn't happened too much with me, because that's freaky.
I mean, it happens once a week.
Really?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you get sexy DMs, too?
Yeah. I mean, it's out of hand. Yeah.
Shit.
I mean, if I see one more, like, uncut dick sent to me in a picture, like, it's just really unnecessary. It's just immediately block.
Yeah.
Did I ask for this? No.
I mean, I do love my fans. I do. Some can be a little bit on the crazy side. There was an Amy Schumer skit that just came out on her episode called Fame, where she's in a coffee shop and she's just trying to get a coffee, just has her headphones in. Somebody, like, pulls her headphones out of her ears and is just like, "Can I get a picture?" And she's just like, "Sure." And then they're like, "Can you do something sillier?" And then they'll retake. I mean, that's happened before. And unfortunately, I think there are great fans out there, but I think there are also fans out there that don't see me as a human.
Right.
I mean, I don't. That has human, that has human feelings. And so they'll just come up to me, just like ask for a picture. Won't even, I don't know, ask me how my day is. They'll just be like, "Hey, can we have a picture? Bye." You know, I think that's so insincere.
I feel like social media has taken away the, like, ability to actually have, like, a real connection with somebody.
I did a meet and greet a couple months ago, and for the most part, meet and greets are all picture taking. Some people will just, like, be like, "Blah, blah, 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 bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. Okay, can we have a picture?" I'm like, okay. But this one person was just, like, talking to me for, like, 5 minutes, and we were having a great conversation. And then so we were nearing the end, and I'm just like, "Did you want a picture?" And she's just like, "No, I don't need a picture. I just really wanted to, like, talk to you, and I value your time, and I'm happy that you were chatting with me." And
so
just,
sweet.
And I'm like, yeah. As drag queens at meet and greets, we don't always have 5 minutes to talk to somebody.
Right.
So often it is just like, click, "Hey, click. I saw this person."
Yeah.
But it's often nice if a fan comes up to you with an idea of what they want to talk to you about, and you guys talk for a little bit.
Right.
Because there are also times where somebody will come up and just stand there and just, like, stare at me. And it makes me feel like I'm sort of like a monkey in a cage where I'm just supposed to, like, put on,
with
like,
great
put on a show for them.
I mean, that's kind of what you are, though, as a drag
queen. As a boy on the street, like
in New York City. Yeah, yeah.
They'll just, like, stand
so
there.
So people recognize you as a boy as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they expect me to, like, say something crazy and silly. And I don't know. I'm not always crazy and silly.
As a boy.
Milk is. I mean, yeah. Yeah. Say she's crazy and silly. But, I mean, I love my fans. I felt I was just so negative about that.
It's okay.
But I'm just telling you, it's not always, like, sunshine and gravy boats, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that just, like.
That was weird.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Let's wrap this shit up.
Okay, poetry slam.
I want to hear some, like, radicalness from you. Our community right now, mm-hmm. with everything that's been happening in the world, yep. right? It's important for us to all stand together and celebrate who we are and what we stand for. And, like, our ability to really love each other and everyone else unconditionally, right? I just want you to kind of talk about that for a little bit and what that means to you to, like, actually be able to celebrate who you are and who you love.
With the events that just happened recently in Orlando, I think it unfortunately takes those events to remind us how short our time is and how we do have to embrace every single person. And so many people want to hate after it, and I know hate is, I mean, hate can't come from, I feel to hate stemming from something that's hateful is just wrong.
Right.
I feel we just have to put more of the energy of love and acceptance and to continue the celebration, honoring the lives of people that we've lost, either in Orlando or just in general in the LGBT community, just honoring them by doing what they can no longer do, which is enjoy life, to celebrate, to love, to laugh, to dance, to, I don't know, just be fucking rad human beings. That's what we can do to help, apart from advocating gun laws and all that sort of stuff, going into the political realm of
it. We're not going there.
Right.
But it's not just a community issue at this point, right? It's not just LGBTQ.
It goes into everybody. Right. It goes into our allies. And, I mean, it's really tough to still wrap my head around it and figure out, like, what to do next. Because I just feel like, oh, keep on celebrating, keep on partying, like, as cliche as that is, I mean, that's what my life is about, to keep on putting that energy out there, to not be fearful and not let anybody ever make you afraid to be who you are. You know?
Preach, mama.
Yes, God. I don't know. What else?
That's it.
Radical.
I'm so happy you came in.
Me
and did
too.
This.
Thank you. Thank you for this.
Milk. I love you.
I love you, Nico Tortorella. Is
all
that
right,
it?
That's it.
God, I hate Nico.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to all of this. Check me out on Instagram. It's at Nico Tortorella. Check out the new season of Younger. It's premiering September 28th on TV Land. And you better keep listening to the Love Bomb, y'all. See you next Tuesday. Nico.